Hi, everyone. This is Kestrel from Kestrel Zuri.
Anna of TooManyAnnas.com.
Bellwether from Four Hails.
Lynn from Illumine's Guidance.
Rin Yurisco from Unbearably Hot. And you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blondcast.
Attention! We have visitors!
Welcome back to our regularly scheduled Twisted Nether Blogcast. This is episode 21 for October 20th, 2008.
Yeah, we had a great time with the roundtable last week, but we've got to get back to the task at hand, bringing you the best of the World of Warcraft from across the internether.
This week we got a Master Crafter as our guest, and we talk about what is on all of our minds.
Cheese?
No, Fim, that was last week. This week it's the patch.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about the patch, then.
I know what you're up to, and I mean to put an end to it. Permanently.
The patch.
The patch.
The patch. You know what? Let me tell you something. That patch was aptly named.
Echoes of Doom.
Yeah.
Doom, I mean, was the significant word there, I think.
Yeah. I mean, granted, I'm excited about it. I'm so happy it's finally here. I'm really enjoying playing the new content. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was one frustrating week with my server.
Oh. Yeah. Thankfully, I didn't have as many problems with our server other than that first day. But the whole UI and everything, and I was out of town all week while it was happening. So, I was on my laptop, and that's not the greatest place to be testing stuff, and it was a challenge. Thankfully, not the same type of challenge you had, but it's still a little bit of one, I guess.
Yeah, for anyone that didn't hear me QQing, the Bleeding Hollow is one of the older servers. It's been around basically since launch. I've been playing on that server since I started playing WoW, which is going over 4 years. So, Echoes of Doom hit BH and basically...
and destroyed it.
And totally, like, forced it to implode.
Sunk under the sink.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about, like, the first day was really bad, which the first night I couldn't even get on because it just was horrible. But I couldn't really play, like, for more than 20 minutes before crashing until about Friday night, I would say. By Saturday, by yesterday, it was playable, and then today it's been okay. Mm-hmm. So almost like 5 days.
No.
Constant.
Fail.
Fail. but it's
server
okay.
Server fail.
Yeah, it's okay. I'm happy it's here.
Well, that's good. Yeah, we're as a guild, we've just been loving the heck out of this patch, I have to say.
But.
We were pretty stuck, raiding for quite a while. And, they went into Kara that first week after and just, blew through, as everybody else probably has realized they're doing that too. And after that, they're like, you know what? Let's go try to Craig Gruul again. Let's see what happens. Went into Gruul, just toasted them. Just like 5 gross, I think. It was crazy. And then went to Mags. Guild first, Mags kill.
Excellent.
And then went into SSC and cleared everybody but Vash.
Wow.
I didn't even
awesome.
Try her. So, we might have been able to. It's just a little more complex than some of the other fights. So, I mean, we've just been blowing through everything. Tonight we went into ZA. We got 3 chests in the timer. We were off by like a minute on the last one. So we probably could have done it pretty easily if we had not tried to do some funky stuff at the beginning. And then we got the last boss down, which we had never done before, just before we came in to record. So I'm pretty impressed by the nerfs that they did.
And the buffs.
But yeah, I mean, it's a lot. It's both, really, because if you think about it, it can't be just the nerfs, because you also were nerfed yourself, too, because you can only take 1 pot. Normally, I know the healers take like 2, 3, 4, 5 pots in a fight. I mean, from what I remember. And now they can take 1 maximum, so I just been amazed at how much better we can do and what we can accomplish now that we couldn't before.
Yeah, you know, I've only been able to get into one raid this week because mm-hmm. of the severe server issues with Hollow. But we went and we did Kara, and we were totally blown away by how fast we were going through everything. And I was really happy on my priest because I was very concerned about the whole mana conservation and the mana issues since we only have one pot and everything. Yeah. And I tell you that we were blowing through things so fast. I mean, we got that Nightbane down in like 2 minutes and 50 seconds or something like that. That fights that I would have had mana issues before, especially when you have two healers keeping up a pally tank from before, we were having issues with him tanking that Nightbane. And he didn't go down past 80%. I never had a mana issue. I didn't need a pot.
Yep.
I didn't even use my Shadow Fiend once.
Well, when they go down quick too, you really don't have as much of a problem, which helps too. Yeah. Also, the from what I can tell, I haven't been doing any healing really, but the tanks really don't take much damage either, comparatively.
No. The damage is totally negligible in comparison.
Yep.
I'm serious. He was AoE pulling entire rooms mm-hmm. of like when we were going to attunement, we were just pulling everything.
Yep.
And it was like, even if he got down to, I don't know, 50%, I think the lowest he got was about 15 because he pulled about eight or nine guys at one time. but even then, it wasn't an issue keeping him up after that initial pull and the spike damage. But I was very impressed by that, and we just blew through everything. And I want to do ZA tomorrow mm-hmm. to see if we can clear it, because we've gone to Dragon Boss, the Dragon Hawk boss.
Dragon Hawk, yep.
Yeah. And so it'd be nice to finally finish ZA, because we've only been there a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be nice to finally have it done. But yeah, I'm pretty happy about it.
Yep. Yeah, one of the things I love about, I've been really playing my little Boomkin quite a bit since the patch. Obviously, I was playing before, but I really like the changes that were made. And two of the most impressive of the changes, I think, the things that got me the most were the fact that I went from having to worry so much about mana constantly to really having not to worry at all. Basically, every time I crit, I get 244 mana back. My Wrath is critting about 40% at this point, wow. Fully buffed. With the extra Spirit giving me more spell power, that's increasing my damage quite a bit. But the mana issues, I have none. I finish a fight and I have full mana. It's
wow.
A boss fight. I mean, we finished the final boss fight. I was full mana in ZA after the final boss fight. So that's pretty cool. And then the other thing that is really cool, really, really, really cool, is that the Hurricane, our nice little AoE spell, is now finally has no cooldown.
Mm-hmm.
So you can just spam Hurricane over and 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 over. And it's great because it does a crap load of damage.
Wow. You know what has a significant change to the cooldown that I didn't realize until I started playing my Hunter? Misdirect is only 30 seconds now.
Yeah, our hunters are starting to use them throughout the fight now. Like where before we would like save it or use it the first and then they really wouldn't use it again. I'm constantly seeing them popping Misdirects throughout the fight. Not that the tanks actually need it anymore, but it is nice to give them that little extra boost. Actually, I'm still getting close to them when I'm really opening up. I still can catch up. I'm dangerous. The warriors are always like, who do we put our little, mitigation thing on or whatever it is? And I'm like, me. put it on Pharah because I'm going to be pulling aggro because I still can, when I really go at it. And like I said, with the mana issues, previously we've been like, oh, you have to do Starfire because that's the best, a damage per mana. But you know what? I've been spamming Wrath. It's Wrath, 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 Wrath. And blowing away the DPS numbers and not going out of mana at all. So
wow.
I don't see, unless there's a fight that really I can't ever crit or whatever, I don't see any reason why I need to worry about Starfire. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I'm doing pretty good damage with just throwing wraths up there constantly. So,
wow, that's awesome. I really wish that I've been able to experiment more, but I've been busy in between all the server crashes. I've been busy leveling my inscription, which I got to 350.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it to 355, I think.
Yeah, cool. And playing, getting the add-ons fixed.
Yeah.
Enough so that my UI resembles something that I can play with.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know what? For a day or so, I was seriously considering just staying with the regular native UI. Nah. And then I was like, okay, well then I'll just do grid. And I'll just have a custom UI for my priest because I'm used to grid and click, right? Because I really didn't want to tackle.
Uh-huh. And then as you went over, you kept adding and adding and adding, right?
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, screw it. You know, I'll just go and fix it.
Yeah. You know, the add-on developers, really, I have to give a hand to them because they just, immediately they were on top of stuff and we've gotten stuff working really quick. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, my issues with the add-ons isn't with the developers or the add-ons themselves. It's been the fact that I can't get on to actually fix them. But as soon as the server was stable enough for me to play with them, I've had some issues that add-ons are crashing and stuff, but generally that's not a big deal. I really have an add-on, a UI, that I really enjoy right now. It's completely different than what I had before.
That's good.
But I'm feeling comfortable with it. I'm really enjoying it, and it's something that is going to evolve as things become more stable. But the fact that there were so many add-ons that were ready when patch hit, I was so impressed because I remember when the patch hit for Burning Crusade that there were some add-ons that were updated, but it took a while for a lot of the add-ons to get updated.
Yeah.
For that pre-patch for that pre-bridge. Yep. Patch for Burning Crusade. So the developers might like Fim and I say salute to you.
Yeah.
You are our heroes because we're add-on freaks.
Yeah. I have a lot and I still don't have all the ones I had before.
Yeah.
Like Atlas loot and stuff, but I know they work because I know people in my guild have them and they're working okay. I've just been trying to kind of avoid any extra ones I don't need at this point. But I have a ton of them. I'm using some of the newer ones that were only for this release. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with it. So far, I haven't had any things where I went, I really wish I had this and it's not working. Anyone that I did have that was that way has been fixed. So
Yeah. I mean, I missed Cartographer to a point, but not severely. Enough that
I've got Cartographer back and working again. They upgraded the standard version, not the 3.0. I'm not particularly happy with that kind of Google Maps like thing. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. But the old version's working again, and little bugs here and there, but they're getting there.
Have you gotten Arc inventory to work? Because it started bugging out on me again.
Yep. Well, what happens? What I've gotten is that sometimes I'll be on and I'll go and I'll hit the B button or whatever, and I'll pop the bag up, and it'll look like. As if it's someone else's bag, like when you go and change to look at somebody else's bag, like one of your other characters' bags, it'll be all grayed out.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it looks.
Yeah.
What I do is exit, reload, relog, and it's fine. You have to like exit the whole program then reload in.
I just disabled it now. And then,
what happened was, the cool thing is if for some reason you do get to that point where it's not working and you don't want to do that, all you have to do is go into the configuration and disable it. And it'll go back to the regular bag. So you don't have to worry about disabling Arc inventory for good. You can just have it on. And if it's broken, just go to the interface menu and go to Arc inventory and just say there's a checkbox enabled in there. Just uncheck it. And then it won't bring up Arc inventory ever when you go to the bags. So
that's cool.
That's what I did when I needed to get to stuff. But I just got out, got back in, and it worked again. So, I mean, they're upgrading them all the time. Hopefully it'll stabilize. That's what I'm using. I'm using Dominoes instead of Bongos, which is the old version.
Yeah.
The new
I'm
one by the
Dominoes.
Same as Dominoes. I love Dominoes just the same as I love Bongos. And it's just getting better. He's adding in more and more. He's adding more and more of the actual features that were in Bongos that are missing. It's getting to be pretty good.
That's cool. There's one add-on that was suggested when I started posting. I post a list of add-ons and stuff like that I was going to change. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for an add-on that can do like a random mount and pet thing. And I got Kadomi from Tank Like a Girl. Yeah. She actually wrote she wrote a comment on my blog, and she's like, "Oh, you should try out Livestock." Mm. And let me tell you, that's my new favorite mod. It's awesome. What it does is it looks in your spell book or whatever now in your spell book, and it looks at what pets you have, what land mounts and what flying mounts.
Yep.
And you can select which ones you wanted to show. And what you do is you keybind it, and then you just press that button, and a random pet will come out, or a random land mount, or a random flying mount. And I am just totally in love with it.
Cool.
So I'm going to be one of those crazy people getting every ram and every horse, because just the idea that I can just have a different mount each time I press it, it's so great.
It's cool. Yeah, why don't you put the links in the show note for that? It sounds like a cool add-on everybody can take a look at.
Super, super fun. And I have to confess something.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. I've become a Bejeweled fiend.
Thankfully, I have not yet installed it. Purposefully.
Let me tell you.
I won't do it.
It's awesome. You know, I was listening to Epic Dolls, one of their episodes the last few weeks. And Leah was saying, I'm addicted to Bejeweled. And then Ray was like, "Oh my God, you're such a nub. Why are you playing a game within the game?" But I can totally understand why now. The reason is it doesn't like show up when you log in. You can have it set up so it only shows up when you're flying. And what are you doing? You're not doing anything. You're just staring at the screen.
That's why I usually go get a drink.
You can do it so you don't have to play it. But like, I don't know if you're doing the Hollow End achievements.
Oh,
are you?
No. It depends. Some of them.
Well, there's three achievements. That is like Trick or Treat Outlands, Trick or Treat.
Yeah, you gotta go to everywhere.
Eastern Kingdoms.
Inn all over the place.
Yeah. So the thing is that this and here's a tip, okay. You want to level an alt without having to really do anything? This is a great way to do it. You want to get 3 gold a pop for not really doing anything? This is a great way to do it. These inns are usually the vast majority are by flight paths. So what you have to do is just fly from one place to the next. Now, when you do this, it could be pretty boring if you're just staring at your screen flying from one inn to the next. But if you're playing a Bejeweled,
yeah.
That's between true. That, it's very entertaining. I did that last night. I did Outland all last night. Yeah. I did Eastern Kingdoms today, and I'll finish up Kalidor tomorrow. And I've made good money, and it's 4,300 XP for each bucket.
Yeah, I was thinking I was gonna run my duos around, since that would be about 12,000 XP each.
Exactly.
So,
I mean,
I may get them to 60 just on the Hollow's End quests. So.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, it's great.
Yeah.
Just doing that, running around, I'm flying and playing Bejeweled. You should do it. And the great thing is you can populate the scores through the guild. So like now there's 3 guys in my guild who will have it. So we're like competing with each other.
You're crazy.
I know. My husband's like, and then this is the thing, right? This is what happens with the mocking. The husband's sitting next to me. He's looking at me playing. He's like, "You're playing a game within a game."
Of course.
And I'm like, "Yeah, okay." So then he's looking at me, and I'm like, and then he's like, "Oh, that's showing up every time you try and fly." And I'm like, "Yes." And then I look around, and he's installing it. Okay. Today, what was he doing? He was flying and playing Bejeweled.
There you go.
So he was suckered in. But yes, I. Bejeweled and Livestock are my new best friends. I'm really enjoying them.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
So I hear you have some kind of Uber's advice.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got the Jenkins title today. Yes.
I don't have it yet.
Thank you. My poor guildies have suffered through with me. They've... you know, I usually don't get all, like, GM... crazy dictatorial, like, oh, you
will
know,
come with
Stalin.
Us.
type of thing, but I got pretty bad about this achievement, almost like a whiny little girl. So to my guildies, I greatly appreciate all your help. I love you guys, and I'm very sorry. I was such a biatch. I'm glad. What happened was, again, server giving issues. We were trying on Friday to do it. Server crashed for about 3 hours. Got back on. And I totally forgot you need... It's not... you can't pick it because it doesn't show up. And then nobody had the key because a lot of my guildies are BC babies.
Yeah.
So, and my hunter doesn't have it because my hunter was BC. So I got the stuff for the key. We ran Lower Black Rock Spire, got the stuff, got the crap that I needed for the dragon. And then I got the key today. But for hunters that are doing this solo, I found this out the hard way. When you are taking care of that dragon, and you're about to get him to the point where you can use the orb to mind control him, you cannot have your pet out, because if you try to use the orb while your pet is still active, it's going to tell you that you already have a pet, a controllable pet. So you have to, in the middle of fighting, you have to dismiss your pet, and then use the orb on the dragon, and hopefully you shouldn't get taking enough damage that this is going to be an issue. Mm-hmm. And then use the dragon to forge the seal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my advice for hunters and for warlocks too, if they decide to use this to do the solo. If they decide to do it solo.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Yeah. It's good advice.
Yeah.
Good advice.
Yeah. So. That was my biggest accomplishment this week, that I got the...
got Jenkins!
I am now Brianna Jenkins.
Jenkins!
Yeah. Actually, there's like 10 of us that are now Jenkins, there's, and we took a picture.
10 of you, Brianna Jenkins?
No, not Brianna Jenkins. You know what I mean.
No, I don't know what you mean.
Yeah. Don't mock me.
I am not mocking anybody.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So anyway.
Oh, just to give anybody, to give everybody a heads up, not that I expected anybody to show when I was going to pick up my Lich King copy, but in case anybody was going to surprise me at the GameStop at 67th and 8th, we are moving our little party to the Dolphin Mall.
Dolphin Mall!
Yeah. A couple guildies and I are going to be meeting up at the Dolphin Mall and Dave & Buster's before 12, and then we're going to pick up our copies at the Planet X GameStop store at the first floor, directly beneath the Dave & Buster's.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you feel like coming out and hanging out with us, you're more than welcome to. Just feel free to let me know so I can expect somebody, so we don't leave you hanging.
Who are these people?
Yeah, no. You're right. But yeah, so we'll be at the Dolphin Mall.
Yeah.
On the 12th.
So yeah, I think I'm still planning on heading out to Big Red Kitty and Mania's little shindig they're having out on the east side of Orlando. Mm-hmm. Waterford Lakes, I think, is where it is. And I'm still planning on being there. I'm going to bring a few... card game cards, the special ones, like the pet biscuits and the Illidan's footsteps and stuff like that. I have to think of something to make people do to get them. Maybe I'll make you cluck like a chicken 50 times
or,
at me.
Or hop on one leg.
Yeah. Oh yeah, hop on one leg and cluck like a chicken 50 times. Actually, what you have to do is you have to hop on one leg and say /cluck/cluck/cluck 50 times.
Oh my.
And then I'll give you a card. No, I don't know. Maybe I can think of some trivia questions. I gotta talk to BRK and Mania and see if we can come up with some cool like hunter trivia or something. If people can answer the question, they'll get a card.
Yeah.
Answer the question, get a card. and or something like that. And so I'm planning on being out there. I think they're starting at 10 o'clock the night before. I still have to pre-order mine there, though. I got to figure it out. I don't know if I can call and pre-order, but I mean, because it's about a half an hour from my house. I really don't want to drive out there to just do the pre-order.
Can't you do it on,
so I gotta,
online and then
well, can you pre-order it online?
Store? Oh, yeah.
A particular store? I don't know if you can do that.
I did it for mine. I have to actually cancel the two that I
so
ordered.
So would you like pre-order it online and do pickup in store?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I did.
Maybe I'll call the store and see what they think. What they say to do. And because, you know, I want to get... I ordered a collector's edition online from GameStop to be delivered the day of the patch, of the, the release. But I need a second for my second account. So I figured I'd save that and just do a non-collector's edition regular pre-order somewhere. And since they're doing a little shindig there, it's where I should get it, I would assume.
I would assume so. I mean,
yeah.
Don't let it be a complete waste of
Your well, the other question was, do you think they're really not going to have extras?
Well, yeah, I don't know, because when I went to...
I guess better safe than sorry.
Yeah, better safe than sorry, because I went to... When I went to the store this weekend, I asked... My husband, Louis, was like, he was like, are you sure you don't want to get the collector's edition? And I looked at him and I go, no, they already sold out. And the guy behind the counter was like, yeah, they're already gone. They've been gone for like the first day after.
Yeah.
And so they can't get that. Oh, talking about the store, guess what? Okay. Mm-hmm. We're there. We're putting the order in. One of the other guys behind the counter plays on my server and is on his alliance. I was like, wow, I've never met anybody who's actually been on our server. It's always on somebody else's server every time we meet somebody. Yeah. But that I thought that was cool.
Very cool.
Yeah. But I wouldn't I wouldn't expect them to have extras that you can buy that night.
Yeah. Well, I'm not looking for collector's editions. I just a regular type. I think they probably have some extras of the regular edition. Because, you know, if they get, like, say we get, you know, 200 pre-orders, right? Yeah, at a store. You're not going to just order 200 for the pre-orders. You're going to say, I want 200, and then I want, like, you know, an extra 50 to have in stock or whatever. I don't know. I could be completely off. Which means that if I show up at midnight and people get their pre-orders, I should be able to pick up a regular. But I'm not going to be that person. Yeah, I'm not going to be the person without the Kara key. I'll try to get the pre-order.
Don't be that guy.
So, yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, I think we, that's about it.
Yep.
For our little, talking. Yeah. Stuff we got to talk about for this week. Next up is, Calliope.
This is Principesa from Melted Faces, and this week's Twisted Blog is...
You can have anything you desire for a price.
This week we have Calliope from Lane, the author of both the resource site Crafter's Tome and her blog Calliope's WoW Crafting Blog. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And so Calliope is sort of the go-to gal when it comes to your crafting needs. Be it leatherworking or herbalism or anything pertaining to the professions, she has the answer. And for a long time, people have been using Crafter's Tome as sort of the petopia for professions. And so we were able to get her on the show, and we're so happy that she's here. So again, welcome. And to start out, I just really wanted to ask, how did you get into blogging, like what prompted you to create Crafter's Tome and then your blog?
Well, actually, Crafter's Tome was created first. I made it because I'm not sure how many people have been playing WoW for like 2 years ago, but back at that point, there weren't a lot of websites that focused, there weren't really any sites that focused on crafting, and the major databases were kind of hard to find definitive information. You would go to one, and because of the techniques they used to collect the information, it didn't always match amongst the different sites. So I often found myself going between the three and trying to deduce what the correct answer was, where a particular vendor was or whatever. And there was just a lot of inconsistency. So I personally got frustrated by it. And, you know, my husband encouraged me. He's like, well, you know, you spend a lot of time on this. Why don't you come up with something and we'll see if we can get it online. So that was pretty much what started it. Just my own personal frustration with the other sites that were out there. And knowing a programmer helps, you know.
Yeah, that's useful. And what's the saying? How's the saying go? Necessity is the mother of invention. Is that?
Yeah, it was that kind of thing. And I created the blog a few months later. It wasn't something that was on my radar at all, but in an attempt to drum up more visitors to my site, I decided that I would try to get into the previous beta for Burning Crusade. And when I succeeded in doing that, my husband had the bright idea. He said, well, you should probably start a blog so that way you can talk about the sorts of things that you're finding, and then people who are curious can read about it. And since there weren't any other bloggers at the time who were focusing on professions in any way, they were mostly talking about, you know, quests and gear and dungeons and that sort of thing, I went ahead and gave it a shot, and it worked out pretty well. So that's how the blog got started.
Okay, awesome.
Sounds good.
I just realized that my vent was open, and I was like, this name came out of nowhere. I'm sorry.
Ooh, what was that? But anyway, we were talking about it before we started recording, but how about you give us some background on how you chose your name?
Well, I chose my name from... I always had a habit with previous MMOs of picking names that were kind of based in Greek mythology, and the name that I chose for my main in WoW is one of the nine muses, and I just sort of threw my personal first initial onto it just to kind of customize it a little bit, because as I'm sure everybody knows, it's hard to get a unique name in a game like this. So, you know, I had to mix up the spelling a little bit, and that's where I came up with the idea of just using my own initial for it. So, and that's how Calliope came about.
Now, just refresh my Greek mythology. Which muse is Calliope of?
I believe music.
Oh, okay.
Last time I checked.
Okay. It would have been perfect.
Makes sense.
Not that you knew that was going to end up being what you were going to fall in love with all these professions, but it having one that would have dealt with a profession, that would have been cool. So, but still, music works too. Now, you led it to the next question by stating that you played other MMOs. So, how long have you been a gamer? Like, how long have you been playing? Obviously, WoW is not your first MMO. Which was the first one that you tried out? How did you get into WoW?
Well, the very first MMO that I played was EverQuest, the original one, back in the late 90s. And I played that for about a year, and then I changed to Dark Age. We tried City of Heroes for a while. My husband and I, we played together as a team at that point. Mm-hmm. And we got bored very quickly with different ones. We probably tried four or five different ones. And then when EverQuest 2 came out, because I had enjoyed the first one more than anything else, I tried that. And after a few months, I got very frustrated, because anybody who's played that knows that it has pretty strongly enforced grouping. It's not something you can do by yourself once you reach, you know, a point very early on in your leveling process. So I was getting frustrated with that, and then a couple of friends convinced me to try WoW instead, because they said it was easier. And I tried it, and I kind of, you know, ended up getting into it from there. And sadly, my husband doesn't still play with me, but I've been playing with friends. I had real-life friends for a while, and then I made friends in the game, and, that goes. So, you know, I've been playing MMOs for almost 10 years now, I think.
Wow. So you've been playing WoW basically since release, or did you get into it a little bit later?
It was shortly after release. I believe it was probably 4 or 5 months after. So it was spring when it came out in November, and then the following spring, say March or April, that was when I first started playing. So it was fairly early on, but not at the very beginning.
Excellent.
Sounds good. What faction do you play usually?
I usually play Alliance. That was my first character, and I actually have a few Horde on another server, but, you know, being the girly girl that I am, I have a real hard time getting past the visuals of Horde, so I can't bond with those characters very well.
I'm sorry. I'm totally there with you. And all our Horde listeners are going to be like, it's so typical. I'm sorry. I just can't get over, like, undead and their jawless faces and stuff. I just can't do it. But, so... You have a number of characters. How many 70s do you got, and which one do you consider your main? And do you have one that has? What I'm trying to say is, do you have a character that has of the profession? So you have one of each profession, spanning all your 70s.
Yeah, actually, right now I have 5 level 70s, and I started out with 4, and I sort of inherited one who wasn't originally mine, but he was on the same account, so I ended up leveling that one as well, because, as you touched on, I ran out of professions for people to have. So as I started getting more heavily into the professions, I started playing more of the alts, trying to get them leveled up primarily for crafting reasons. So I consider Calliope my main, and she's a restoration druid, and I've always played healers in the different games that I tried, so, you know, healing is kind of the main thing that I enjoy doing. And she has been a leather worker since day one, and she does skinning as well, although she just this week had to drop it for inscription because I had no more profession slots left. yeah.
The sacrifice must be made.
Yeah, well, so the sacrifice was made by Calliope, and my consideration there being that Calliope is one of my 2 characters who does the most raiding, and I didn't really know what was in store in terms of faction recipes. So I didn't want to put inscription on a character who might not be able to get the important recipes, and that's why I went with Calliope and gave up skinning. But I have my 2nd character. She is the jewel crafter and also the miner. And then it gets ugly from there because, again, I had to cover all the professions and not necessarily do what made sense. So my warrior is an enchanter and an engineer, and my hunter is an herbalist and a blacksmith. So there's kind of some odd combinations in order to cover my bases that don't necessarily make sense for that particular character, but they work in terms of everybody getting along together and sharing their goodies with everyone else, which is one of the things that I find with MMOs I tend to do a lot is, you know, make more characters so that I can have more professions. And I don't know if a lot of people do that, but that unfortunately is where my altitis tends to kick in. It has more to do with getting more goodies than it does with wanting to try other classes or specs or whatever.
Hey, whatever works.
Whatever works for you, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Cool. So in the game, how do you spend most of your time?
Well, I was thinking about this earlier, and my perception of my time is that I spend it raiding, but realistically, I probably spend more time on professions, usually doing farming or getting my faction up for different recipes and that sort of thing. So I probably spend the bulk of my time on professions in one way or another, whether it's building up cash or collecting materials or getting the faction needed to purchase a certain recipe. My latest level 70 is a warlock, and he's also tailoring in alchemy, so he's been working on his frozen shadow weave set, so, you know, the usual farming that goes along with that. But whenever there's not a raid on that I'm participating in, then I'm usually doing something crafting related.
Awesome. So, now the big question. The question that, you know, is burning and everybody wants to know. What is it about professions that just kicks in your alt-itis, as you labeled it, and makes you, drives you not only to farm and get every possible profession in the game, but also create sites about it and guides about it and gets you fired up?
Well, I think there's probably more than one thing that drives me to do it. Usually it's starts out as kind of a self-sufficiency thing. I don't necessarily like to depend on other people to be at my beck and call to make a particular item that I might need. So when cross-profession items come up that, oh, gee, I really wish I had somebody who could make me bags, or I really wish I had somebody who could transmute my primals for me, or, you know, this sort of thing. So I will often find myself figuring out a way to get an alt who can do it so that I'm not constantly pestering someone else and interrupting their game time in order to get the things that I'd like for a profession I already have. And then the other one, you know, that I have also noticed more recently with jewel crafting and more just this past week with inscription is, you know, and I'm not sure if this is maybe a more feminine trait or whatever, but it also is part of the decision to be a healer is, you know, being useful, being somebody who provides good utility to the guild or to the group. And I always like being part of that dynamic with the guild or whoever that you're with, is being able to provide a useful service that maybe could be lacking a hole in the professions with other people. So, you know, that's nice to be able to provide a service that maybe nobody else is doing at that point in time.
Agree.
Yep, makes sense.
I really do. It's awesome.
Inscription has been a lot of fun for me because, you know, everybody in our guild is so excited about it, and being able to put your link in chat and let people, you know, come to you and tell you what they need. It's gratifying in that way to, you know, offer that and know that everybody's excited about glyphs and here you are and you have them.
You know what? I leveled my druid this week. She's 350 right now, inscription. And I totally forgot until my friend, it's three of us in the guild who decided to level inscription at the same time this week, so that there's three inscribers in the guild. And we totally forgot that now you can link your profession in chat and let them scroll through your book, because we were being bombarded by, oh, what's a glyph? And how I need this one. And can you tell me what you can do for rogues? And can you tell me what you can do for mages? It was like, whoa. I mean, I remember when jewel crafting came out, and, you know, I have a jewel crafter also, but it was not this, I guess it wasn't this rush to try and get everything, because in jewel crafting came out with Burning Crusade, not before. So people couldn't get a taste of it until Burning Crusade came out, so that when it came out, everybody was busy trying to go to Outlands and the whole bit, so they weren't so focused on jewel crafting. But with the glyphs, it's a great thing to see it and be able to play with it. It's just like, I'm so happy that they implemented that thing that you can link your profession, because if not, it's a nightmare trying to tell people what you got, because you don't even know what you got. You just kept pressing the chick for her to give you more stuff so you could keep leveling. You weren't reading.
There are so many glyphs too.
I'm sorry, what, Finn?
There's just so many glyphs. It's just like trying to flip through them and go, oh, how, which ones? And then trying to figure out when you do get the minor ones, like, okay, which minor one did I just get and where is it?
Oh, geez, you just reminded me. I need to log back in and do my minor research.
Don't forget.
Totally
I've
forgot.
Been very good about that.
Well, I just got off a plane, so I got to remember to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. As soon as it's done, we gotta log in and do that.
I got the...
I need the penguin.
Yeah.
I want the penguin.
I got the one that lets Druid not have to use reagent for rebirth. Which is kind of
cool.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
Nice.
Put that on my
nice
druid.
One.
That's a nice one. And get rid of all those stupid roots or whatever it is you have to get for it.
Acorns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, acorns. I don't remember what. I just buy them both. I don't know.
What? Oh, now that we're talking about professions. So the secondary professions and stuff, do you have that leveled also, or just the main ones?
No, I've tried to have all of the gathering professions leveled as well. In fact, I've been known to steal from other people's accounts in the house to get my bases covered, but I've been shut down on that, so I'm not allowed to do that anymore. Up until this week, I actually had a skinner, an herbalist, and a miner, and I had to give up the skinning for inscription because I only had five characters, and I had pretty much tapped out everybody who had an open slot for a new profession. Nah. So I've given up skinning, but it was a strategic decision because I felt of the three gathering professions, it was the most expendable, which I will be sad about in another month, but I had to do, you know, make the decision, the tough call.
Sacrifice one to save them all.
I know.
Have you leveled fishing and you know, cooking and first aid? I mean, hopefully first aid, but the other secondary ones, do you have those on all your tunes, like at 375 or just one of them, or?
With fishing, I only have one because anybody who's fished knows how painful that is, and I just really have no desire to do it on more. And although I have to, in all honesty, I do have it on a second character, but it's not leveled all the way. It's just sort of a, you know, marginal attempt at sometimes leveling when I, you know, have spare time, which I don't tend to have a lot of. But all of my characters are max first aid, and almost all of them are max cooking, except I think maybe two of them are shy by like 2 points because of the crawdad thing. I didn't have enough crawdads to go around. Mm. So, but whenever I have something that I know somebody else could level off of, I usually mail it to that character and then let them get their points and then they mail whatever it is back. So, yeah, I try to spread around all of the materials that I collect so everybody can have their professions up to snuff. And in the beta, I'm kind of doing the same thing. So,
it's the crawdad controversy.
Well, it could well be, because I don't really have, I do have a warrior, and she's protection spec, but I don't play her a lot because she's an alt, so her need for crawdads is fairly low, and therefore I don't find myself farming them a whole lot. I usually am much better about farming my healing foods, so I never ended up with enough of those for everybody to get their points, but I think they're all above 370. It's just the last few points that I kind of poked around and didn't get. So slight slacking.
So should we do a shout out to listeners on Lane? Send you a couple crawdads when you can finish it off and be a completist.
Well, if you really must send fish, then I'm not going to turn it down. I'll be happy to cook and give it back to you. But, you know, don't feel necessarily obligated to send me, like, 500 fish. That's not necessary. Some people get carried away with these things, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Limit that.
So, we had a question on professions also. Do you feel any particular profession is either the most awkward or in need of a major revamp?
Well, I'm as far as professions, you mean as they currently exist on live or as from what I've seen so far in beta? Because some professions have gotten some love.
you can answer both. You can answer live now and then like what you found in beta.
I think on live, I would have to nominate blacksmithing and engineering blacksmithing as the most difficult to level and engineering as the least fun or beneficial, I guess you could say. If you're a tank, it's the most beneficial, and my character was a tank. But for the most part, you know, a lot of the fun that they had integrated into the original engineering recipes, they didn't focus as much on that in the Burning Crusade recipes, and I kind of feel like it lost some of the entertainment value, so to speak. So, and that's why I would nominate it as one of the ones that needs attention as far as the spirit of what it originally was has been lost. Mm-hmm. And then blacksmithing was just the most difficult because of all the ore, all the primals. I think it required the most effort on my part to get it leveled to 375, and it was the most painful.
Okay, so how about in Wrath?
In Burning Crusade, I think right now I would have to nominate leatherworking as the worst, and alchemy as the easiest. Alchemy has always been, you know, very easy to level up, and that continues to be the case. Engineering has improved a lot, I think, with the addition of the, I guess you would call them enchants. They're not really enchants the way we understand them now, but basically self-buffs to your gear. that has brought a lot of the spirit of engineering back to what it was previously and integrated more fun into it that was kind of lacking in Burning Crusade. So that's a good improvement, and I think engineering is back pretty close to where it needs to be. There might be a few holes, but I'm pretty happy with it overall as a profession, and it wasn't as difficult to level up, so they eased that too, which I know was a complaint with engineers, that if it's a profession that's not going to benefit them monetarily, that it should be easier to level up, and I think that they've made good progress with that. Blacksmithing has also gotten a lot of love in the Lich King, and I won't necessarily say that it's amazingly easier to level, because it still requires a decent amount of ore, but they've cut back on the primals a lot, pretty much across the board. The whole primal thing is de-emphasized, and there's not, like, you need 6 primals for 1 skill point type of thing. So that was definitely a very good improvement in blacksmithing. And then they also have added, from the trainer, the ability to make keys, which got lost in Burning Crusade, the shield spikes, which got lost in Burning Crusade, the weapon chains. So they've added all of those items back, which is good news, because it gives the blacksmiths some of the consumable items that they were seriously lacking previously.
Yeah, I don't. Any of the blacksmiths that I know, they don't really use it for anything outside of just being able to use the weapons that they have.
Yeah, other than the bop gear, they weren't really getting much out of the craft. So I think Blizzard has done a lot of good work to address that problem for blacksmiths, and I think people are going to be happier with it. The only question mark is that pretty much all of the crafts do not have their rating level bop gear implemented yet. I think blacksmith is the closest, because they have like 6 different level 78 blue items that crafters can make, the blacksmiths can make for themselves, but I don't really consider that in-game gear or, you know, pre-rating gear, so I don't count that as true, you know, the end profession specialty items. So at this point, nobody has that yet, that as far as I know. And I'm still waiting to see that before I put any recommendations on my website, or before I make my own personal decisions about what kind of shifts to do in crafting. I think it's hard for anybody to make a decision if they don't know what personal benefit they're going to get from the high-end items that they can make.
Yep.
But as far as the profession that's the worst, right now, strangely, leatherworking, and a close second would be cooking.
Cooking is pretty bad in Lich.
I probably have sent them more complaints about cooking than I have about leatherworking. It could be even.
My fire's not staying warm, people. What's going on?
Well, the problem is that they give you a whole bunch of recipes at 350, which turn green at 382. And so you're going all the way to 400 on green recipes, which it's not horrible. But then at 400, you get a whole new wave of recipes, and that's it until 450. And so those recipes from 400 go green on you. I think it's like 425 or 430.
Wow.
So like those last 10, 15 points are all green recipes, and the items required to make them, that you need like 6 pieces of meat for each item you make.
Wow.
I know. So just the amount of materials is huge for a secondary profession. I've said this is just not appropriate at all.
Are the items at least
agree with your plan
pretty
completely.
Useful? Are the items at least pretty useful for particular class or whatever that you can make with the 6 meats?
They are. It's actually, it's kind of an interesting item. It's similar to a mage table. It's like a group
feast. The feast.
That's pretty good.
All you can eat buffet. Yeah.
Cool.
It's useful. It's a useful item, so it's not something that you're necessarily going to get rid of. You probably will keep it in your bags, but the fact that you have to make something like 50 of them to finish out your cooking is just excessive in my views, and I've told them that.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll revamp it once.
That's what I have to look forward to. Wow.
Well, It's not helped by the fact that two of the six items you have to make are farmed from killing things, and they have something like a 15% drop rate. I mean, so you're talking of killing hundreds of critters to get some of the ingredients to make these 50 tables. So it just, the numbers start to get boggling when you really sit down and do the math of what it would take to get you all the way to 450.
But that's why Calliope's in the beta, so she can complain for us before the Lich comes out.
You're exactly, a lobbyist.
Exactly.
You're a lobbyist.
Yeah, I'm lobbying for them to change that. And then
make it better.
Leatherworking, president.
Yes. So leatherworking suffers from similar problems in that you need like 10 to 15 heavy leather for each item that you make, and 1 to 2 primals. And I just earlier tonight got my leatherworking to 435. And all of the recipes I had available to me went green, except for some bop enchantments that you can make that are epic in quality.
Yeah.
And so it's like, okay, who's going to make an epic quality enchant that they can only use on themselves? Yeah. Or, you know, make 50 million of this horrible green thing that takes 12 heavy leather and 2 primals.
Yeah.
So there was just no good choice to get you up to 440, which is what you need to reach in order to make the next wave of recipes, either from a trainer or a vendor. I'm unaware of any recipes that you could purchase to cover that gap. So I sent them another lovely message telling them I had a problem with that.
I wonder if there are a lot of drop recipes.
I haven't seen any, which I actually find odd, because when I was in Burning Crusade, I would regularly check the auctions and take notes on any drop recipes I found. It's not the most efficient way to document drop recipes, but it was working fairly well, and I go in there every day, and I've never seen one drop recipe that looked Northrend in nature. They're all the old stuff.
Yep.
So I'm not sure what's going on, but to me, it doesn't appear that they're really implemented yet.
Yep.
Just real quick, weren't they doing a new system? I know they were talking about it for jewel crafting, where you would do dailies to get tokens to get like your profession daily, and that.
Oh right. Yeah. Yes.
So, and I remember them saying that they were reducing the world drops for at least that I remember the jewel crafting recipe. So I don't know.
That is
maybe
crazy.
Yeah, maybe that's for all of them, maybe. That's probably, I don't know.
Well, you know, I have been kind of keeping an eye on that, because there is a jewel crafting daily, and I do it pretty much every day that I go on to the beta server. I do the jewel crafting daily, and I've picked up a few recipes that way. And I really like that system, and I'm pretty sure I've sent them a message indicating that maybe it was about leatherworking, because they have this vendor. And you have to, in order to buy recipes from that vendor, you use the tokens that you do for the dailies. And this is the way that it's implemented for cooking and jewel crafting. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, for enchanting and leatherworking, there's the same vendor, but instead of using quest tokens to purchase from those two vendors, you would be using, in the case of the enchanting vendor, you would be using your shards. And in the case of the leatherworking vendor, you would be using your heavy leather and your rare leather drop, which is another new thing for leatherworking. And I have sent them very kind, begging emails saying, please change this, because I feel that it's imbalanced and it's unfair towards the people who have to give up their hard-earned ingredients for crafting in exchange for a recipe. Like an enchanting recipe ranges from 4 shards to, I think, 10.
Wow.
And the leather ones range from 3 pieces of leather all the way up to 2 pieces of rare leather, which I think you would probably currently equate with, like, let's say 2 cobra scales, our most valuable leather. So imagine if you had to trade 2 cobra scales to get a recipe. And actually, it's actually worse than cobra scales, because you can farm cobra scales and get, you know, several in an hour. But this is a random rare drop, so you get it, you know, maybe once a day if you were out farming leather for 2 to 3 hours. So
nice.
That's still not a good comparison, but it's the best I can do with the current game. And so they're asking people to give this up in order to purchase a recipe, whereas the jewel crafters can just go do a daily for 4 or 5 days, and boom, they've got a new recipe, and they didn't have to give up any of their, you know, hard-earned gems. Well, they do, but it's the green ones that they're not really going to care about, so I don't really consider that equivalent to giving up your heavy leather. And I've told them that. I said, I don't consider this fair, and, you know, because an example would be for the jewel crafter, they can do dailies for a week and get a recipe for a Mata gem cut.
Yep.
A leather worker doesn't have that same choice. Neither does an enchanter. And I'm sure enchanters don't want to be handing over their shards constantly to get new recipes. They need those shards to do the enchantments. So,
yep. Makes sense.
I've complained. I don't know if they'll change it. I hope they change it, because I think it's more fair and even for all the professions to function in the same way as far as purchasing recipes goes. Mm-hmm. You know, if one profession can do a daily to earn new recipes, then they should probably try to do the same thing for everybody else. And so far, I've been looking for engineering, I've been looking for tailoring, and I haven't been looking for alchemy, and there are no vendors whatsoever activated for any of those professions. So I don't really know if this is something they're looking to do across the board, or if what we have now is pretty much what there is. And I hope that's not the case, but right now I haven't seen any changes in several weeks to this aspect of the game. So.
Okay.
Okay.
So, which of the professions at this point, I guess before Wrath comes out, do you feel provides the most useful items?
Well, I think part of it depends on what your needs are, but I would have to say the top two would, in my mind, would probably be alchemy or jewel crafting. Because they both provide things that are consumable. People need them on a regular basis. They're willing to pay decent money for them, as opposed to enchanting, where you can only charge a service fee. And if you don't have the particular recipe that tends to be popular, then you have a hard time making any money with it. So I think that's kind of a problem, although I hope the scrolls fix that, or at least address it in a more reasonable fashion. But right now, I would have to pick either alchemy or jewel crafting, and I probably would lean towards alchemy if you use a lot of consumables for raids, and towards jewel crafting if you're more of a solo or casual player and you're not doing heavy raiding, so maybe your consumables usage isn't as high. Then jewel crafting would probably be better for you.
Yeah, I know that already with Inscription. We've had several requests in the guild for the vellums, so that the enchanters can start making some money. They're like, oh, hey, can I have one of those so I can put mongoose on it or something? Not mongoose, but, you know, to start putting some enchants so they can start selling it and actually making some cash. Because we use our poor enchanters. We lock them in the basement, and then we take them out. We're like, enchant this.
Shove pizzas under the door. I see how it is.
We're mean. We're real mean to our poor enchanters. They bite.
Well, hopefully they'll get to see some sunlight now.
Yes. Yeah.
Out of the dark.
Out of the darkness. Blinded by the light.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got many... since I've been leveling alts, I've got pretty much all of the different professions on every one of my alts at this point, other than everything's above 300. So I've got my inscriber that I can send vellum to my enchanter. And fortunately, my enchanter doesn't have a lot of the rarer enchants yet, so I can't make any of the really cool ones. But I need to try to figure out what of the ones I actually have will sell decently on the auction house. I don't know what's selling right now.
Now, you know what's really selling right now is the minor glyphs, because a lot of people don't have them.
Yep.
That's what's selling. Yeah. And other glyphs, the major glyphs are selling, but they're coming down in price. They're stabilizing.
Yeah. I've seen them stabilizing at around like 4 gold. I sold a whole bunch at 4 gold.
Yeah. Yeah. So obviously you're in beta and you've been testing out the professions. Have you been testing out all of them, or just like, did you transfer all your tunes over, copy them over, so you can test out all the different professions? And what's been the most drastic change overall?
I Tried to transfer as many characters as I could, but anybody who's been on the PTR knows that you have a 4-character limit, and since I have my profession spread across 5 characters, because that's pretty much the best you can do with, you know, all the professions and the gathering skills that we have, I was not able to take my alchemist and tailoring character. So, unfortunately, tailoring is not something I've been able to test, but one of my guildmates who came with me graciously gave me access to his alchemist, and I did level alchemy, so I was able to get alchemy all the way to almost 450. I think I stopped a couple points shy, but, you know, close enough to the end to kind of see how that progression was going to go. But yes, for the most part, I've been leveling all the professions that I was able to copy characters for, and I've been doing very little adventuring with my time on beta, which I'm sure is probably very confusing to most people who go over there, because, you know, they go to have fun, but pretty much when every test server comes up, I will copy my characters who have relevant skills to that particular test server, and I will go either find out where the new recipes are, or, you know, whatever the changes that they've made to professions, I'll go test it out. And so I'm kind of treating the beta server the same way. And right now I've leveled jewel crafting to 450. That was the first one that I leveled. And then blacksmithing is 440. And for the most part, 440 is kind of the current cap. It's not technically the cap as far as how high you can raise your skill, but it seems to be the where they put all the good recipes. Mm-hmm. So for most people, that's going to be their first goal, is get to 440 and be able to make epic stuff. Because that's where the bulk of the recipes tend to kick in. So my blacksmith is currently 440. My engineer is currently 440, I believe. As I said, I got the alchemy character that I borrowed to about 448, 449, something like that. So nice. I've already gotten 4 professions fairly close to knocked out. I'm still working on leatherworking, but because of the challenges that I mentioned earlier, she's right now only at 435, and I'm not sure how much farther I'm going to be able to push her, because just like I did on the live server, she's going to have to drop skinning in order to pick up inscription, and since inscription is going to be such a big thing in Northrend, you know, I'm planning on leveling it all the way to 450 on the beta server, as well as what I did on the live server when I tested it up to 350. So I'm planning to continue that on the beta server, and I was just waiting for them to finish all of their changes, because inscription was kind of a mess until about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's my next project, to work on inscription. And then I have leveled fishing, and there have been some really good changes to fishing that I'm hoping they don't roll back. They've actually changed the leveling process so that you don't have to get 4, I believe it was between 12 and 15 successful casts in order to get 1 skill point.
No.
And they've brought that down drastically. Right now, it averages 4 to 5, so you can level up fishing pretty quickly. I did it probably in a couple of days, and the bulk of that was collecting materials for cooking. So it wasn't like I went out and said, okay, I'm going to level my fishing. It was more like, oh, I need ingredients for cooking. I'm going to go fish, and then, oops, I'm 450 in fishing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, so it was kind of something that you didn't have to put extra effort into getting it leveled up. It just kind of came with the territory when you were working on your cooking. My cooking is currently, I think it's around 440. I'm trying to get it to 450, but the horrible recipes that I've already mentioned are standing in the way of that.
They're blocking you.
Yes, I was hoping to get that to 450 as well. I have my herbalist. She's at 450. My skinning is currently at 450. My mining is at 450. The only thing I haven't really started in any meaningful way is enchanting, because when you disenchant items in Northrend, for some reason it seems that they're not dropping as much dust and essences as they did in Burning Crusade. Mm-hmm. So I'm having trouble collecting enough materials to actually level that up. And I don't know that I'm going to be able to make good progress on that particular one before the Lich King comes out. So that one's kind of an iffy project for me right now. And then the other one that I'm not able to do is tailoring, because I don't have enough characters. But everything that I've had the ability to do. I've tried to level it up to at least 425 so that I could give people a reasonable idea of what they could expect for, you know, the first couple of waves of recipes that they'd be getting when they get there. I mean, obviously, when you get to the end, it starts to get ugly, and there's just no way around that. But at least up front, you kind of knew what you were getting into. So that was my initial goal when I got there. And for the most part, I've been able to level up fairly well, even though my characters themselves are not leveling up. I mean, my rogue is still level 71. My druid is level 72. And my hunter, who is the one that does my herbs, she is still level 70. So despite the fact that they're still relatively low level for the expansion, they're actually able to get the stuff that they need. So I don't really think that people are going to have problems with being able to collect the materials that they need for their crafts. It's more going to be a matter, you know, of course, of the hordes of people who are on the server when you are and taking your ore and stealing your herbs and, you know, it's going to be the competition aspect that holds people back, not not accessibility. So,
yep.
Yes, that joy just gets amplified on a PvP server where they can actually kill you when they want your node.
I'm so glad I don't have to deal with that.
Yes, me too. Have you gotten a chance to ride any of the newer crafted riding items? I know you didn't do that. Can't do the carpet because you don't have a tailor, but what about like the motorcycle?
No, I haven't been able to do the carpet, although I've seen it a couple times, and it looks so tempting that more than anything, that's what makes me lament that my tailor could not make it to the server, because that thing looks really cool. But I have to say that my warrior, who is my engineer, she is a gnome, and she has little pigtails, and so she conscientiously objects to the use of motorcycles.
Why?
So I have to say, I did not purchase one because I just felt that that was not her personality to ride on a huge motorcycle. She is just too petite and adorable for that.
What are you talking about? There's nothing best than the juxtaposition of having this little gnome who's on top of this rampant gut, like, gas-juggling monster, you know? And she's, like, riding through with the little pigtails flying in the air. That's classic. Come on.
Well, I may have to reconsider, but my initial position was that it was just not right for her because she was just too cute and sweet to be going about doing this sort of, you know, bad girl image thing.
It's her other side. It even has a Pwn license plate. Come on now. it's just too good to pass up. If I had an engineer, I would definitely get one.
I will reconsider my position, but at this point, they disabled the ability to just walk up and buy one. So I'm not real sure what's involved. Probably, you know, the difficulty of actually going out and the recipe is a faction recipe, which I just recently found a couple of weeks ago, and I did not realize they were going to do that. So. You would have to grind your faction up with, I can't remember off the top of my head who it is, but whatever the group is. And so I think that's going to be a limiting factor for people versus just leveling your engineering skill. I think they're going to be holding because they're going to need to get their faction up with that particular group. So it'll be a while before we see those.
Question then, if she objects to the motorcycle, does she have a raffle copper?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
She does, and I, for whatever reason, that doesn't have that didn't have the same vibe for her. She felt that was in fitting with her cute image. Okay. So she does have the regular flyer, and she made the epic flyer when she finally farmed enough primals to purchase one. So, but the motorcycle, they did put it in beta for a while, and they let you purchase it. I think it was purchasable as either a vendor item or just a, you know, pick it up and go item. I never actually tested it, so I wasn't clear on how that worked. But they were letting everybody have them, I guess, to test the mechanics of it. It does appear to work slightly differently because when you mouse over somebody who's on one, you get a little tooltip box for the motorcycle and for the rider as two separate things. So I'm assuming there's some passenger capability involved because... The motorcycle itself seems to have its own personality, separate from its rider. I'm not sure what that's about.
What's that car? Oh, Christine. That's that car.
Yeah.
The car that killed.
Yes. Something like that. And I haven't really tried the other mounts either. They're quite expensive on the beta server. Not that I didn't bring enough money to purchase it, but I've been kind of holding off because with all the professions that I'm doing, I don't really know how much I'm going to need to dip into my funds to finish getting those leveled up. So I've been sort of conserving. But I believe one of them is about 14,000 gold, which is quite expensive.
Yep. Yeah.
I haven't bought it yet, but on the PvP server where I have a pre-made character, I did buy the bear. So I've tried one of the new ones, but there's nothing special about the bear. It's just a regular epic land mount. So
I want a Pwn license plate. trying to throw it in there. Now we have some questions from Oric from Slash Hug, who's a big fan of yours, and he sent us some questions.
He actually helped me with my beta test. Thank you very much, Oric.
Yeah, so Oric is awesome. Shout out to Oric.
Yes, he was. I appreciated everybody who jumped in and sent me screenshots when I was not in the beta. They responded to my whining with, you know, the ultimate self-sacrifice by helping and jumping in and doing it themselves and emailing me the results. So that was very kind of all of them.
Yeah. So he has a couple questions. Some of them you've already answered, but there's two that you haven't. So he wants to know, which is your favorite crafted item in-game?
Oh, wow. That's kind of put me on the spot there. You know, I think off the top of my head, I would have to go with the Zap Throttle Mode Extractor for Burning Crusade, because without it, my warrior would be dead broken, would not have a Rolfocopter, and my other characters would probably also be quite miserable because I really don't like farming primals, and that took a lot of the pain out of it when she finally got made her own and was able to use that. And I've also been using it in the beta, and I haven't written a post on that yet, but there are clouds in Northrend, and your moat extractor still works, and it's a great resource for people who need to collect the new primals. So that'll be something that I've been documenting, and hopefully people will see it soon when I get a chance to write it out. But probably crafted items from the original game. I think my favorite item is probably the Tranquil Mechanical Yeti. It's almost the same height as my warrior, and I love whipping that out and having people comment on the fact that the pet is practically the same size as the character. It's very cute. So that's a lot of fun, too.
You know what that reminded me of? I remember in original WoW, and this was, it took a lot of mats, really expensive mats back then. We all got together as a guild, and we made an Arcanite Dragonling for one of our engineers. And it was like, it was such a big deal for him, for him to get it. And it was really cool to see it fluttering around next to him. And the Yeti just brought that memory up. That's really cool. And the last question that Oric has is, if you could add a new profession, now we're putting you in the chair of the appropriately named LeCraft. I love the fact that the lead designer for the professions, his last name is LeCraft.
I'm totally with you on that. When I found that, I was like, wow, you couldn't even just create a scenario better than this.
No. You couldn't, without it being cliche, you couldn't write it any other way. So
right.
if he came to you and he say, you know, hey, you've been writing us all these love notes in beta, why don't you tell us what new profession you would love to see in the game?
Yeah, I think, and I'm pretty sure that the player base has tossed this out from time to time, but off the top of my head, without being able to just sit and really ponder what's missing, I would probably suggest some sort of woodcraft, a profession where players who took it up could be able to make bows and staffs and wands and the sorts of things. I mean, I know that enchanters make some wands now. I don't believe they've implemented new wands in Lich King, but I'll have to double check that. But something along those lines where you could sort of fill a hole of gear that people need that is currently only being provided by drops, that you could have crafting for it. And I think that would fit in fairly well with the universe too. So that would be off the top of my head my first choice.
Yeah, somebody can finally make arrows. That would be good.
They've kind of put it on engineers now, but realistically, you know, bullets fit with engineering, but you could kind of shift arrows elsewhere. So, yeah.
I mean, they only can make one type of arrow, which is that an Amantite arrow maker, and then that's it.
I believe they're getting a new one. Uh-huh. They're getting a new wave of ammunition in Lich King, and I'm pretty sure arrows and bullets are being added, not just bullets. So,
cool.
There'll be upgrades.
Yeah, that's cool. That's excellent. And as unbelievable as it may seem, we're at an end.
Yep.
Aw, too bad.
We've been talking for a long time.
Yeah, that's our last question, and it seemed yet only 2 minutes ago that we started.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and share my opinion, and hopefully people will find it entertaining.
Oh, well, we definitely did.
And definitely.
We thank you for coming on the show, and it was great speaking to you.
Yep, definitely.
Well, great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, maybe we'll have you back once Wrath comes out and all those professions are kind of more finalized. I know nothing's finalized in WoW. once things are more finalized with it, we can have you back on to discuss more of the Wrath of the Lich King stuff.
Okay, sounds great.
Awesome.
Hi, this is Sia from bananashoulders.com, and these are the hot topics from the Indie-Nether.
Now what do I do?
Alright, so some of the topics, obviously most of the topics have been revolving around the patch because it was pretty big. And we're still feeling the aftermath of it. And so,
I thought it was all about cheese.
Huh?
I thought it was all about cheese.
Cheese. Yeah. Yes, greater blessing of cheese.
Greater blessings of cheese.
Fucking red pallies, man.
Jeez.
They are out of hand.
Nerf red pallies.
I mean, I don't know about nerf, but they are insane.
Well, they already are. 3.03 is gonna nerf them a
bit. But I don't know how much that's gonna really nerf them, because let me tell you, their DPS is freaking out of hand.
Yeah. Well, the biggest thing I think was that 1 minute stun or whatever it is. That's just crazy. Repentance. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever that just basically takes you out for a minute. It's just too long.
Are they nerfing repentance? I thought they were nerfing Divine Storm and.
I thought they were nerfing repentance down to a lot less time.
Really?
Yeah, because that's a big thing for PvP. You know, if you're gonna be out for a minute, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, in Repentance was kind of nice today. I did Heroic Slave Pens, and Repentance was a nice CC.
Yeah. No, Valley. I agree.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But I am totally in awe of the Red Pallies. I fear them now when I see them coming at me. I've never been two-shotted before by a Pally, but yes, I have been two-shotted on my Hunter several times this week.
Yep.
Yeah, so talking about the patch, we were talking about, you know, people, I don't know how you've been experiencing it, but people whining and complaining about all the changes and why did they do this and they nerfed this and my add-ons don't work, so Nomer from Armageddon's Coming has a great article or rant to answer these questions to these people. And he aptly names it things that cheese him off, and so it goes along with our greater blessing of cheese.
Cheese him off.
You know, it's sort of like the who moved my cheese. Like they don't want to move forward and change. I mean, the same thing happened when original WoW was being transitioned into Burning Crusade, and everybody was like, "Why are they doing this? Everything's changed, and my add-ons don't work, and." My life is coming to an end, and you just have to get over yourself.
Well, I felt that way with my add-ons. I felt that way with my add-ons not working.
Well, you know what? Like, no, I expected not the add-on. I mean, and he makes really good points. Nomer makes some really good points. He's like, okay, your add-on, your favorite add-on doesn't work? Well, then why don't you fix it? Because these guys are doing it on their own free time. They're not getting paid for it. They're doing it out of the kindness of their hearts to try and make your UI better. So give them a break and cut them some slack. And I am in total agreement. And he's just saying, don't be so negative about all these changes. In 6 months, you're going to totally forget how it used to be.
Yep.
I can't tell you exactly how the game was before Burning Crusade. And I know in 6 months, I'm going to totally forget what it was like in BC. Because you just move on and adapt. And that's anything that remains stagnant dies.
Yeah. Well, you know what we're going to be? We're going to be like, I remember when your shadow is just a little circle on the ground. Now look at it. It's all like 3D, man. Uphill both ways in the snow.
Actually, yeah. I mean, the shadow thing, absolutely. I've been admiring the shadows.
And yeah, I turned up everything and went, ooh.
Ooh, look at that.
It's so pretty. Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, for everybody who's all upset, you gotta just relax. Because it's
such is life.
Yeah, it's a transition, it's a change. And you gotta grow up and you gotta move forward. Because if not, then you're just gonna be stunted.
Yep.
And that's no fun.
Yep, exactly.
No fun. So, Tanomer, my hat off to you. I really enjoyed your rant. And for everybody who's, you know, I actually had one of our, a guy that we know that he's the brother of a guildmate of ours. Mm-hmm. He's in one of the top guilds on our server, and he's pretty upset over the nerfs for the raids, because he feels that it's a slap in his face for hardcore raiders. And I can sort of understand his viewpoint. You know, because they, like, he was talking about that they were in Sunwell and they just killed Kid Jaden this week as a guild. Mm-hmm. And that they were stuck on, I don't know what his name is, Maru? They were stuck on him for like 3 months and they one-shotted him when they went in this time. And I can understand to a point what he's talking about, but at the same time, what's a nerf now for raids in BC is not going to be that in Lich. And Matt from our favorite little priest from World of Maticus makes that point by saying, you know, yeah, it may seem like a nerf now. It may seem like they've dumbed down the game or made it too easy for people to progress through, but it's a two-edged sword. You know, like, you guys have been able to almost finish SSC, you finish the EA, you're gonna go into TK, so you're gonna see content that you wouldn't have seen before.
Yep.
And it makes you feel like you're progressing towards something, so that you're excited to, when you get into Lich and you reach the hard content again, that you're going to be prepared for that.
Yeah,
and definitely. used to all these new specs and everything.
Yep. Yeah. And we get one other bonus from the new changes and stuff is the we got server queues back.
What?
Server queues.
Oh yeah.
Logged in this evening. Guess what? Get your 50th in line. Oh well. Back to server queues. Everybody's coming back.
Man, I really wish that they would have given us server queues for BH
instead of blowing it up.
Yeah, no, really. I would have preferred like having a server queue and waiting for 10 minutes than being stuck at the loading screen for 30.
Yeah. Oh, we got stuck trying to get into Zul'Aman for an hour and a half, so tonight.
Nice.
That was horrible.
Yeah. So yeah. Matt has a good article on that, on the rating.
Yeah, that was a good article. I read it.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like, so you can get through Kara in 1 hour.
Yeah, you can get Kara and you can get Z. Like, they got ZA in 17 minutes and they finished Black Temple and they're going to go into Sunwell. But, you know, I can understand my friend's point of view that it may be it's like a slap in the face because people have been progressing and pushing so hard and wiping so many times on this content, and now it's very accessible. Like, you're able to get through it. because of the balance of the way that the raids are now and the nerfs on the boss health and everything. But, you know, it's something that people never got to do in original Wild to Burning Crusade. And I actually did Onyxia this week for the first time. And it was kind of fun just to be able to go in there and blow her up so I can say that I've been in there. So, you know, I hope it's...
Get the achievement.
I did, actually. for his cake, I hope that when Lich comes out, and for other hardcore raiders, that they find that level of challenge that they had before.
And I think they will.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yep. So, what about achievements, huh? So, Friday from Argo Friday talks about how she's living with achievements.
Yeah, she was like, she's been one of those that, those players that's been sort of meh about the achievements. She hasn't, she wasn't really sure she liked them or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the achievements came in and she's found herself going back and finishing off content that didn't, you know, I don't know about you, but like a lot of stuff is not showing up on my achievement list.
Yeah. Yeah, quite a bit.
Yeah, like, it still says that I haven't killed Van Cleef.
Well, I know I haven't because I've actually never been in Dead Mines. So.
Really?
Really? Really? Really? Never.
Wow. Ever.
So, I just happened to skip all that stuff because I didn't really do instances when I leveled Fimless initially. So, didn't really get a chance to head in there at that time. And then it just wasn't worth it for the other toons because they leveled up so quickly past that. So.
Yeah. So she was just talking about some old world stuff that she was doing, like school and whatever. And she also had a really cool little idea to give yourself a little bit more challenge if you decide to go back and start doing lobby quests to do rep grinds, you know, for like Stormwind and stuff like that. Like if you're trying to get exalted for the ambassador title, she says you should do it naked. And that way you're not so OP and you feel like there's more of a challenge to it.
No thanks, I prefer no challenge.
But you know what was funny is like we were looking at this the reason why I brought this up was because we've done a naked VC runs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like you only get equipped it by what's inside the instance.
Yep.
And I think that the majority of us are missing the Van Cleef achievement, and I think we should do another VC run naked.
Well, there you go.
We can go in there and kill Van Cleef, get an achievement, and come out looking very funky with our clothes.
There you go.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
So, very cool.
So, the last one, if you, like, I know I mentioned livestock earlier, but if you don't want to do livestock, if you just want to do a quick macro to summon a random non-combat pet or mount. Nib from Mystic Chicanery.
Nib.
Nib. Chicanery. God, I'm never going to get that right. she has a macro that she found from the official WoW forums. It's on her site, and you can use that to use a macro to summon a pet. Thought that was very cool.
Yep, definitely.
All right! Who ordered up an extra large can of whoop-ass?
So, we have mail?
We have mail.
Yeah.
We actually have a cry for help.
A cry for help, yeah. We don't have any voicemail this week. I guess people were, or maybe we filled up our voicemail box with calls from Nib. But we have no voicemail this week, but we do have a letter that Bree received, an email, that she's going to read to you now because, just kind of paraphrase, I guess.
Yes. So this mail comes from Ziv from Double Bubble, and she has a quick question that I'm pulling out. I'm going to throw it out to any hunter or anyone who knows a hunter who may have accomplished this or may know the answer to this, because she is in a serious quandary. So she's been thinking of getting one of the Gorilladins that BRK has on his site, and he showed one that he got, which is the white and blue skin from some rare spawn in Onguro, which I can't pronounce the name, but you guys know what I'm talking about. So that skin is only available on 3 gorillas. It's available on that rare spawn, on another one that's untamable, and another one that's listed in Wowhead as the number 2. And it's a gorilla in Winterspring that spawns from a quest chain. Now, she is trying to find out whether or not the gorilla number 2, which is the one in Winterspring, is tameable. But the fact of the matter is that the quest chain that spawns him is from the Encourage opening of the gates. And she doesn't know if anybody has done it or have tried to tame him or has him as a pet, because she really wants to know so that she can see if she does the chain. She started doing the chain and she got stuck to the point where she has to go into Blackwing Lair to do it. I told her I was going to go investigate. Again, since the servers haven't been very stable, I haven't been able to go to Tenaris and start that whole quest chain. There will be a link in the show notes to her post that she has, because she has like all the quests listed out, and if you want to help her out to find out how to do it, she has everything listed there. If you know the answer to this, please answer to give me an answer or send her an email or something, because we're all trying to figure this out for her. And that's it.
Okay. Yeah. Please help.
Please help.
What we can do.
Please help a hunter sleep well at night.
Yes. And that's all of our voices from the Nether. Please leave us more voicemails and send us more emails with your questions or comments or information. I think we've reached the end of our show.
Yep.
Again, if you have a question, tip, blog, or post you think we should check out, let us know. You can contact us at the information that's at the website, which is at www.twistednether.net. You can use our call-in hotline voicemail, and that is 206-203-4546. Again, that's 206-203-4546. Leave us a message and we can play it on the air in the next episode.
Cool. You can also check out our forums, which is under contact list, also our wiki at wiki.twistednether.net. And you can also check us out on iTunes and leave us a comment. We would greatly appreciate it. And I have one little quick announcement before we disappear. And that is, if anybody's been reading my blog or Loon's Guidance or Egotistical Priest, we're doing NaNoWriMo next month. And we're sending out a invitation to anybody who's interested in participating in NaNoWriMo, any WoW lovers and writers that want to join in the madness. We started a Ning site at World of Wordcraft. .ning.com. So I know it's corny, whatever. It works. So then I'll put a link in the show notes so that you guys can come and hang out and check it out, and we'll be using that site during the course of November when we're all pulling our hairs out trying to write novels. There's a bunch of bloggers on there, a bunch of readers, so you don't have to be a blogger. You just have to be someone that's going to participate in NaNoWriMo and happens to love WoW. So, hope we get a bunch of people. And then that's it.
Yep,
I think that's we're it. Done.
Yeah, and we will see you all next week.
See you all next week, guys.
For another show.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Mike Morheim, and you're listening to the Twisted Nether Blogcast.
Farewell, champions.
Welcome back to our original... Let me start over again.
We are ready
again.
The
tongue needs to be untwisted. Yeah. This week we got a master crafter as our guest, and we talk about what's on all of our... What? What the hell is that?
Buggers is always coming to me and saying, Ratshag, I got a problem. My god of thunder and lightning don't fit into his armor no more. He's been eating too much food and watching too much Fruggle Up in television. What am I gonna do? Well, my friends, there is an answer for you. What you need is to acquire yourself the Storm Lord's Girdle. This belt drops off of finer mobs in Hellfire Peninsula and Zangarmarsh and will easily help your Storm Lord fit into the tightest of armors. It can also be purchased at your local auction house because it is bind on equip for a mere 20 gold. So, the next time your God of Thunder and Lightning puts on a few pounds, get yourself the Storm Lord's Girdle.